Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And if we'd kept it on one more verse, we would have said, Jesus say, I'm the good shepherd. But for some reason, the wisdom of the lectionary readers, we actually missed that verse out from our gospel. So we have Jesus saying, I am the door or the gate to the sheep. But traditionally, many churches today were remembering Jesus, the good shepherd. I find a degree of difficulty standing up here with any integrity and preaching on Good Shepherd Sunday. I once was given, well, Lorraine and I were given two ewes, and the two ewes had three lambs between them, and they escaped so often that the neighbours complained that they very quickly, the lambs had to go into the freezer, and the ewes went back to the farmer who gave them to me. So I am not the world's good shepherd, I have to say. And so please, your words this morning, thank you for recognizing the post of the bishop, but some of the things are difficult to carry, I have to say, and I haven't brought my crozier with me. But the words of the scripture, I think, really have spoken to me a little bit today. I'm preaching in three different places today. I preached at Caversham, St. Peter's, at 8 o'clock. I'm here today at 10, and then at 5 o'clock, I'm going to the Peninsula Parish, where Michael and Mary Jo Holdaway are being licensed to the parish there. And each church has got exactly the same readings. And so three different sermons for three different places. So you're right in the middle. And the words that struck me as I was reading through were the very last sentence of the passage. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. What does it mean to have abundant life? What might it mean to someone who's blind to get abundant life? The gospel we had, if it's in context, is very much a continuation from Jesus healing the man who was born blind. In John chapter 9, we read about Jesus' disciples, and the disciples, busybodies maybe. Whose fault is it, Jesus? This man's born blind. You know, is it his fault? Was it the fault of his parents? No, it's no one's fault, Jesus says. And Jesus heals the man born blind, sends him off with some mud on his eyes to a pool that's called Sent, because Jesus is one who is sent, and he sends his people, and the man comes back seeing. And the man doesn't really understand what's going on. But then again, neither do the disciples, neither do the Pharisees. Do we really understand what's going on? Jesus, in trying to explain it, goes through a dialogue with the Pharisees, who immediately are a bit suspicious because all this happened. That's all of us, I think. All of us, in a sense, are people of faith who seek understanding, in the words of Anselm, one of the church fathers. We have faith. We come to Jesus, and gradually and increasingly a sense of understanding comes. But abundant life for that man born blind must certainly have included, if not been centered on, the fact that he could now see. It's really quite difficult this morning to stand and pick up the theme of abundant life. I was literally sitting in St. Peter's Church and got two texts. It's amazing, these coincidences. Almost feels like an attack. One attack text came from a friend in California who just said that their partner had been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Christian people, they have faith. But it's hard to know where abundant life comes in. And the other text came from someone I'm close to who's just suffering a miscarriage. Again, how do we pick up this theme of abundant life and be triumphant Christians when we live in a world where so much of reality can really hit us between the eyes at times? And yet it was into this world that God came in Jesus. And God still comes. I think we all, in some sense, have heard the voice of Jesus. One or two of us maybe have heard an audible voice. I'm not one of those. But for those who have, let them hold on to that blessing. Many more of us will have heard someone speak to us, and that for us has become something which has called us to move into following Jesus. Other people will have read the scriptures. I think we all have heard of people whom, from an atheist or a completely agnostic background, read the Gospels and felt convicted and made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Some of you all know Chris Holmes, won't you? The Professor Chris Holmes at the university. He came from a non-Christian background, but was reading John's Gospel and realized that life had to change. So many of us, in one way or another, have encountered Jesus. We've come to a degree of faith, and we want that faith to increase in understanding as we move on and listen to what he has to say. Jesus talks about his flock. He talks about being the good shepherd. And in verse 11 of chapter 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd." He says that his sheep hear his voice. We've got a great example of that with the man born blind. He couldn't see a thing, never had that. And yet he heard somehow Jesus telling him to go and wash and come back seeing. And he responded. That's for us. There is a responsibility to always be open to God speaking to us. And the amazing thing is, it doesn't happen in exactly the same way. My friend Lee came to a living faith in Christ when he held his daughter that was born. For him, that was such a moving thing. He said, "There has to be more than my life," and made explorations and came to faith. For people like Chris Holmes, reading the scriptures have done it. One or two other people, there's a marvel in creation which overwhelms them, and there's a realization. And yet for others, it's gentle conversation over many years at times, as the love of God, the position of God coming, the desire of God for us to have life and abundant life, which makes a difference. I think of those of us who at some stage have already heard God's voice, have got to keep our ears open, because God continues to speak, continues to call, and continues. How can we explain the invasion of one nation by another because of almost the capricious will of one of the leaders? But that is the story of this world almost from the get-go. As God created the world, very soon there comes murder, not just telling fibs and lies, but murder enters this world from the very beginning. And yet God still doesn't wash his hands of it, but comes, and in Christ we see God perfectly revealed. So as we get an understanding of God, we can only do it through seeing Jesus Christ, because he is the door, the gate, the one by whom we have access. Now, I think some people are carried through that gate without realizing it. Other people see the gate and by their own choice walk through it. But as Christians, we have to be true to what we believe, and that is that Jesus Christ is the only perfect revelation of God. But also we have to be true to our scriptures. I'd like to read more scriptures to you. You're not a church that's frightened of the Bible, are you? I'd like to read a psalm which you may have heard of. I'd like to read to you Psalm 23. Anyone heard of Psalm 23? Probably some of you could recite it, but I'm going to read it in a more modern version. "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." That's probably got to be one of the world's best known psalms, I think. And amongst the other 150, that's probably near the top for me as well. I think it's a beautiful psalm. But in the middle, there's a little bit of a barb that can catch us. Talks about leading us in right paths for his name's sake. And then immediately following that, even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Part of being born involves the fact that we are going to die. Humanity is going to end at some point. And as soon as Jesus was born, my belief is that in order to be truly human, Jesus has to die. But that, for us, gives us the hope. We are preaching resurrection in this Easter season. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say it twice here. So there is a resurrection hope which we hold on to. We believe that God is going to make all things new. And that started with Jesus Christ. He's the beginning of the new creation. And then the world and us will all be made new. I have no concept that I'm going to be sitting on a cloud as some ethereal being with a harp making music. I don't think that's what God has in plan. As I see Jesus Christ, and that's the only glimpse we've got of the new creation, there's someone who's very solid, who's more solid than this world is. Doors, barriers, doors are no barrier. He can go through them as easily as whatever, a hot knife through butter. Jesus is not confined in his resurrection body, but it equally is very real. And this is what we have to look forward to. And at some point, the veil will be removed and we will experience it. But until that point, we have to recognize that life is not always easy. All of the apostles had a still will face martyrdom, will face oppression, will face difficulty and death. But that's not where it ends. I think we are called to make a difference in the world we are now. That starts, I think, with the Acts passage. We pay attention to each other. We read the Bible. We attend to the teaching of the apostles, the breaking of bread and the prayers. That's part of what we're called to do. And we do that. But equally, you must also look more widely, because around us there's injustice which needs to be changed and corrected. And at times we will have to stand up and say, this is wrong. We need to move against it. Always in love, always inspired and empowered by the breath of Christ, by the Spirit of God. But there are times when we do have to stand up. And that can only be done as we listen to God, as we listen to each other, as we let the good shepherd speak to our hearts. In their time, just before that passage in Acts, it talks about 3,000 people were added to their number. Yes, we are to be yeast and salt, a small effect, small people that make a big effect, but we will see people changed, we'll see lives changed as we follow Jesus Christ. So not only are we called to abundant life within ourselves, we're called to see that life spread out into the world. We hold on to what's given to us in the future, and we look to where we are now to make a difference. So those are the words which have come to me as I've thought of abundant life.